Morning. It is a joy to me that I'm able to come before thee, before you, and I want to thank your pastor for inviting me to speak. It has been some time since I've been to your local, but I always enjoy my stay. I do have a few things I'd like to bring to you this morning. I hope and pray that you allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead and direct your thoughts as I'm able to speak before you. This morning in the Sunday school service, the history of the birth of Christ was being taught in the adult class, and there were many things in which I wanted to say, but I was going to say it now, and that's why I didn't contribute much at that time. I want to give you a little history about why we celebrate Christmas on this particular day, the day of the 25th of December. It was in the year 354 A.D. that a bishop named Librius of Rome chose the 25th of December to be the day in which Christians would worship the birth of Christ. It happened to coincide with the Roman feast. And that was the feast of the sun, the solstice of the sun. But as history shows, at the time of Constantine the First and many other rulers at that time, as they tried to introduce Christianity to the Romans, them being a very paganistic people, many times they had to choose and trick them and choose days which they worshiped their own pagan gods, but that they could relate to those things dealing with Christ. I don't know if that was wise or not, but that's what they did. And so it was at this day, and the Romans celebrated it, and it was the victory of the sun, or the light, overcoming darkness. You remember just a couple of days ago, it was the shortest day of the year, and then now the sun will be shining longer. And so this is why the 25th of December was chosen. The Armenians were the first people in the world to set up a Christian state. And they celebrated Christmas Eve on the 6th of January, as most of Europe celebrates Christmas on the 6th of December. Decorating fir trees and giving presents, the use of holly and mistletoe, Yule logs and wassail bowl, which happens to be an ale, wassail bowl, it's a liquor, come to us from the days before Christ, and that's from the Scandinavian countries and the ancient German tribes. Now that I've kind of pointed out some of the things as to why the 25th of December was chosen, I want to go into scriptures. I want to go into scriptures where the prophets of old foretold Christ's birth. As Christ said, by the law and the prophets. He said that many times, by the law and the prophets. And it's through his holy prophets that he reveals things unto the children of men, and that is the way he works. As he did in old, and he will do now. It is through his holy prophets that he will reveal all things to the children of men by the power of his Spirit. The first scripture in which I'd like to go to is in Deuteronomy. This was what was to take place. Moses was speaking here in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy. He was telling the children of Israel that in the 15th verse of the 18th chapter, it says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Moses was trying to tell them that there would be one who would be raised up and would be within their seed, and the children of Israel, was to listen to him as to what they were, the different laws and the things in which he would bring forth, even as Moses, as the children of Israel listened to Moses as he brought forth the many laws at that time. In the book of Mosiah, and I'm going to use scriptures from both, both canons of scriptures in which we have in our hands. I'm going to go to Mosiah in the first chapter to also point out that they also knew what was to take place. That happens to be on page 216 in your Book of Mormon. And I'm going to read the 93rd and the 97th verse. The 93rd verse will tell us how this individual knew and understand these things. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come, and the things which I shall tell you are made known unto me by an angel from God. So he was told by an angel, and this was King Benjamin. And in the 97th verse, what was to take place? It says, for behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord Omnipotent, who reigneth, who was, and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay. This is what was to take place. Now let's see how it was going to take place by those things that were spoken of by the prophets. First scripture I'd like to go into, it would be in Isaiah. And with much wisdom, the Lord Jesus, when he was visiting our brothers here on this section of the world, when he said, search the scriptures of Isaiah, for all things are foretold in them. In the 7th chapter, in the 14th verse of Isaiah, we find out how this individual was to come forth. And it's also recorded, and it's quoted in the 2nd to Nephi, in the 9th chapter, where Isaiah is quoted. But in the 14th verse here, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So we see how this individual was going to come forth. It was going to come forth from a virgin. I forgot, I was listening to a preacher on the radio station one time, and he was talking about the odds of this happening. And I forgot, it was astronomical as this particular event, as to how it would, all those things that were foretold that took place, and as the history records it, and the odds against that happening, it's tremendous. So we don't have to use faith. We shouldn't have to use faith. It should be knowledge. Anyhow, the first book of Nephi, I want to go to the 3rd chapter and the 56th verse. And there also it is another recording of one of the prophets. Actually, it was Nephi's vision, and with foretelling Christ's birth. And I'm going to read the 56th through the 62nd. Verses, starting on, we'll start on page 28 here. And he said unto me, knowest thou the condescension of God? And condescension means to descend to a less or formal state of what it was originally. And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children, nevertheless I do not know the meaning of all things. And he said unto me, behold, the virgin whom thou seest is the mother of the Son of God, and after the manner of the flesh. And it came to pass that I beheld that she was carried away in the spirit, and after she had been carried away in the spirit for the space of a time, the angel spake unto me, saying, look. And I looked and beheld the virgin, how again bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son, eternal Father. So both canon of Scripture points out that it would be a virgin, that this child would come forth from a virgin. And this is how it would be. Going back into the book of Isaiah, I'm going to be hopping back and forth here, because I like to reference both scriptures and use both, because that's what they're supposed to be used for. They're both in your hand, not just one. In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, verses 6 and 7, this is going to explain again who was to come, as the prophets were foretelling. That's why those wise men of old, when they were looking for those different signs and they were seeing them, they knew that the time was nigh
that the Son of God would be born. The sixth verse, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even from forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Saying who this would be. As you study the old scriptures of the prophets, you will find that they used many names for Christ, but they never used the words Jesus Christ. Yet as you look in the Book of Mormon, those brothers who were prophesying knew his name and actually recorded it. And so this is what we'll find in the Book of Mosiah. Well, let's turn to the first chapter of that Book of Mosiah, and we'll find out how that works. In the 102nd verse, it's page 216 again. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. Now this was given to our brother King Benjamin 124 B.C., according to the Book of Mormon. So they were very specific. It was Jesus Christ. And if we want to go back, let me see. I don't want to rush ahead of this here. In the book of Micah, we're going to find out where this individual was going to come from. The fifth chapter of the book of Micah, in the second verse, says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, and Ephrathah means fruitfulness. Though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have not been from of old, from everlasting. So it points out where his birth was going to take place, and that happens to be in Bethlehem. Our brother Daniel had a vision, which is recorded in the 9th chapter. And there's this particular vision. There are those who, there's different interpretations of such. But for one interpretation of the 25th verse, there is no mistake. And it was to foretell Christ's birth. And as this individual was received the vision, as Daniel received the vision, it was about 538 B.C. before the time of Christ. And he received this vision. And the 25th verse goes, Now therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. As we know, as we can go back into scriptures in the book of Nehemiah, we find that Nehemiah went before the king at that time, and he was troubled. And the king asked him what was troubling him, and he said that he would like to go to Jerusalem and to build it up again, because he had seen it destroyed. And this destruction came, and it was also foretold. And that's why our brothers left Jerusalem at the time that they did, because Christ, or the Spirit of God, came and wrought upon the prophets, Lehi and Nephi, and they were told to leave that area because Jerusalem would be destroyed and the children of Israel would be carried away. And so it was in the king of Zedekiah that this occurred. And this destruction was great at that time. And so Nehemiah had seen a lot of the results of that destruction, and he was sorrowful in his heart. And He went before the king, and the king gave him permission to start to rebuild Jerusalem. And if we look at this, it says 70. Let's see, 7 weeks, 70 and 2 weeks, which happens to be 69 weeks. And as the scriptures say, a year or a day is a year, and a year is a day to the Lord. If you want to look at it that way, it works out to be 483 years. And that comes within that era or time frame. It was about 443 BC when Nehemiah was given the permission to go to Jerusalem. At least this is what we have as a date. But we have a better date. Through the wisdom of God, he gave us the understanding, the scriptures that are pertained to in the Book of Mormon. And they had a very precise dating. And the Lord told our brothers there in the second book of Nephi. And this particular prophecy was about the same length of time away. Well, let's see, we'll turn to page 142 in your Book of Mormons. For there is save one Messiah spoken of by the prophets, and the Messiah is he who should be rejected of the Jews. For according to the words of the prophet, the Messiah cometh in 600 years from the time that my father left Jerusalem. So they had a very precise time frame given to them as to the birth of Christ. And we have it today. As that rebuilding of Jerusalem started at the time of Nehemiah, it was not completed. And if we look at this scripture in the 25th verse of Daniel, of the 9th chapter, it says, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. That didn't completely occur until of the day of King Herod. And as we look into history, history has recorded this great work of rebuilding Jerusalem. Now I want to read you a little part of that history. Although detested by his Jewish subjects, Herod did seek to win their favor. He built and rebuilt cities throughout the land. Samaria became Sebaste in honor of Augustus. Stratton's Tower became Caesarea with a harbor protected by a mole. And a wall with 10 towers, fortresses, baths, parks, marketplaces, roads, and other luxuries of Hellenistic culture were part of his building program. In the 18th year of his reign, Herod began the work of rebuilding on a grand scale the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. The main edifice was built by priests in a year and a half, but the work on the entire complex of courts and buildings was not completed until the procuratorship of Albinus. And that happened in AD 62 and 64. So we see that the completion of the fulfillment of that particular prophecy in Isaiah, that completion occurred during Herod's time. And he was part of that prophecy. Now as we look into as to why this individual was to come forth, in the book of Helaman on page 591, explains very plainly as to why this individual would be coming. And behold, he said unto them, starting with the 55th verse, behold, I give unto you a sign. For 5 years more cometh. And again, here's another time frame which was given to the prophets of old as to when the coming of the Messiah would be. And this happens to be Samuel speaking. And behold, then cometh the Son of God to redeem all those who shall believe on his name. And behold, this will I give unto you for a sign at this time of his coming. For behold, there shall be great lights in heaven, insomuch that in the night, before he cometh, there shall be no darkness, insomuch that it shall appear unto man as if it was day. Therefore there shall be one day, and a night, and a day, as if it were one day, and there was no night. And this shall be unto you a sign, for ye shall know of the rising of the sun, and also of its setting. Therefore they shall know of a surety that there shall be 2 days and a night. Nevertheless, the night shall not be darkened, and it shall be the night before he is born. And behold, there shall be a new star arise, such as one as ye never have beheld, and this also shall be a sign unto you. And behold, this is not all. There shall be many signs and wonders in heaven. And it shall come to pass that ye shall be amazed and wonder, insomuch that ye shall fall to the earth. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever shall believe on the Son of God, the same shall have everlasting life. And it shall come to pass, and behold, thus hath the Lord commanded me by his angel. Again, another individual proclaiming, an angel told him these things, that I should come and tell you these things unto you. Yea, he hath commanded that I should prophesy these things unto you. Yea, he hath said unto me, cry unto this people, and repent, and prepare the way of the Lord. And now, because I am a Lamanite, and have spoken unto you the words which the Lord hath commanded me, and because it was hard against you, yea, ye are angry with me, and do seek to destroy me, and have cast me out from among you. And ye shall hear my words, for this intent I have come up upon the walls of the city, that ye might hear and know of the judgments of God, which do wait you because of your iniquities, and also that ye might know the conditions of repentance, and also that ye might know of the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and of earth, the creator of all things from the beginning, and that ye might know of the signs of his coming, to the intent that ye might believe on his name. And if ye believe on his name, ye will repent of all your sins, that thereby ye may have a remission of them through his merits. So he was to be our Redeemer, the one who would reclaim our souls before his Heavenly Father. Only those who would believe on him, and those things in which he spoke. In the third book of Nephi was recorded the actual event. That which Brother Samuel, that's which Daniel saw, that's which King Benjamin saw, all the many holy prophets before them had seen. It was then recorded in the third book of Nephi to the very day. Page 601, that would be the first chapter of the third book of Nephi. I'm wondering if I should read all this. I'll go ahead. Now it came to pass that there was a day set apart by the unbelievers, that all those who believed in those traditions should be put to death. And those traditions was the coming forth of the Messiah. Except the sign should come to pass which had been given by Samuel the prophet. Now it came to pass that when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw this wickedness of his people, his heart was exceeding sorrowful. And it came to pass that he went out and bowed himself down upon the earth and cried mightily to his God in behalf of his people, yea, those who were about to be destroyed because of their faith in the traditions of their fathers. And it came to pass that he cried mightily unto the Lord all that day. And behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, lift up your head and be of good cheer. For behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given. That sign which our brother Samuel saw and understood and spoke to those people. And on the morrow come I into the world, Jesus Christ speaking. I thought that was interesting. Here Christ was talking to Nephi the night before he was to come to the earth. It's something hard to understand. to shew unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by who? By the mouth of my holy prophets, even in the words of Christ. Behold, I come unto my own to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world, and to do the will both of the Father and of the Son, of the Father because of me, and of the Son because of my flesh. Notice he says, I come unto my own to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men. It was no surprise. It should have been no surprise, because he made all those things known to the children of men. And that's the same with his second return. For he has made many things known, if we search diligently the scriptures, of his second return. And I realize there are some gaps within those things. So we must know and understand that there must be more prophecies, more prophets that will spring up and bring forth and to close those gaps in our understanding. They're not plain within us. Because we know the Lord works the same even as he did of old. And he was very clear, wasn't he? I realize the scripture says, no, there are no men that knows the time in which his return. But I do know that he intends his children to know so that they could be prepared. Maybe not the exact day, but within that time frame which they may see. And behold, the time is at hand, and this night shall the sign be given. And behold, it came to pass that the words which came unto Nephi were fulfilled, according as they had been spoken. For behold, at the going down of the sun, there was no darkness. And the people began to be astonished, because there was no darkness when the night came. And there were many who had not believed the words of the prophets. Many. And what did they do? They fell to the earth and became as if they were dead, for they knew that the great plan of destruction which they had laid for those who believed in the words of the prophets had been frustrated. For the sign which had been given was already at hand, and they began to know that the Son of God must shortly appear. Yea, and find all the people upon the face of the whole earth, from the west to the east, both in the land north and in the land south, were so exceedingly astonished that they fell to the earth, for they knew that the prophets had testified of these things for many years, and that the sign which had been given was already at hand, and they began to fear because of their iniquity of their unbelief. And it came to pass that there was no darkness in all that night, but it was as light as though it was midday. And it came to pass that the sun did rise in the morning again, according to the proper order, and they knew that it was the day that the Lord should be born, because of the sign which had been given. And it did come to pass, yea, all things, every whit, everything was fulfilled according to the word. There should be no guesswork in the work of the Lord. Only if we reject those things in which he has given them, our people. As we read this morning in Luke, that happens to be one of my more favorite scriptures concerning or foretelling the birth of Christ. I'm not going to read it all. There is one particular scripture, verse, which is very precious to me. As the angel was bringing forth good tidings and great joy to those shepherds that were tending their sheep, the words were spoken, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Very moving and very heartfelt words. Because you can feel the love in which the Lord had for his people and his desires for them to know and understand that this was their Redeemer, their Messiah. And as it was spoken of this morning, only those lowly, humble shepherds would really realize that
And that's why they went. That's why the angels came to them.
Yet we know that even learned men, as this one we read later on in this chapter, where as Jesus was taken forth to receive circumcision, that individual was a studious person and approached God many instances concerning the knowledge and the understanding of the coming forth of the Messiah. He was given understanding that he was holding, even holding the Messiah in his arms. A very learned man. I don't know what sect he was from, but he knew, and he had faith. And the Lord gave him understanding. I'm going to not read any more scriptures. I just want to bring to your minds, I want you to feel that love even this day, in which the Lord would have you to understand and know that He has for each one of you. Also to be diligent in searching those scriptures and understanding and approaching the Lord very prayerfully for the days in which we live of the second coming or the return of Christ. And don't be as those virgins of old who slept. I know they all slept, but there were some who were not prepared. Let us be prepared in these last days, for there are many scriptures that tell us that it's very close. For that second return of Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who came forth, and the one who, through his holy prophets, have foretold of all his works and the things in which his Father has told him. Thank you.
This evening at 7:30, we're going to have our Christmas program. Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we'll have prayer service. We'll close with number 42. 42. Let us arise.